let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to talk about something this morning with the Lord's help. My mind went back just while she was singing that song and me knowing what I was wanting to try to preach on this morning. My mind went back to a story that I heard years ago. I think I've told it here maybe once or twice in revivals. But I remember hearing a story of a man who was a backslid preacher. And he'd been backslid for several years, backslid holiness preacher. And he went to church one night and near Richmond, Kentucky. And the preacher preached that night and gave an altar call. They said conviction was just powerful in the service that night, in the revival. And this backslid preacher sat there and was literally shaken, they said, under conviction. And when finally they gave the altar call, the backslid preacher, 4, 5, 10, 15 minutes lingered there. And finally he stood up and he began to walk down the aisle of that church. And they said just everybody erupted in tears and joy and just excited, you know, that he was coming to the Lord. And said he walked down and he got to the front pew and he stopped. Instead of going all the way to the altar, he stopped. And Brother Smallwood, who was preaching the revival, told me that the man looked back at his pew. And it stunned him. I've never seen that myself in church. And it stunned him. And then he said the backslid preacher turned around and he looked down at the altar. And he stopped and then he turned around and he looked back and he looked back to the pew and then he turned around and looked at the altar. And Brother Smallwood, who was preaching the revival, Philip Smallwood, a friend of mine, said that finally after 3 or 4 times of him turning around and looking back, he, instead of going to the altar like everybody thought, he turned around and made his choice and he went back to his pew and he sat back down. And what happened there is he looked at the hard right decision he had to do, and he turned back around, and he looked at the easy road, and he made a choice right there at a critical time of his life. I've never heard him praying again, never heard if he's ever prayed. He might have, I've not heard. But life is filled with choices, isn't it? And in every choice, that's what I want to preach about this morning, choices with the Lord's help. And with every choice, there is always an easy wrong and a hard right. I want that to sink in. Most of the time, not only in a spiritual realm, but even in a natural realm, a lot of times in a choice, you can do the easy wrong or the hard right. You know, you sit down at a restaurant and the waiter is not that good. She hasn't done her job and you know, and it's been a little frustrating and she didn't bring you your drink or whatever, and so you have a choice to make. Are you going to go the easy wrong and just, you know, leave her a buck or something? Or are you going to do the hard right and leave her what is supposed to be left, to 15% or 18% or whatever it is? Even natural, but of course I want to deal a little bit more with spiritual choices. But at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or," what's the next word? You're going to give an account of the choices you make. People don't like to hear this, but there is consequences. Huh? To choices. There is consequences to choices that people make. And you'll face it in the judgment. This verse says. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. If you will this morning. Hebrews chapter number 5. Help me, Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, I preached from chapter 6 here a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned a little bit about this chapter 5. But what I want to try to go back and try to preach from it, if the Lord will help me, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, but let's go on up in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience, this is speaking of Christ, by the things which he suffered. He, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Of course, this literally is saying you should be farther down the road than you are in your faith with God. I've got other things I would have to say, I could say, but you're not able to bear them up. And he says, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. That's the part I want to deal with a little bit about reason of use. It's actually talking about somebody that has read the word of God and they know the word of God. And thus, the Bible said, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I appreciate you, Father, this morning. Thank you for everyone here. I need your help this morning physically. Please touch my eyes, Lord. I pray for clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And help me to say this morning exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I want you to look with me again, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full of age. Now you've got verse 13, he talks about a babe in Christ. And then in verse number 14, he talks about those that are mature, that can take strong meat, and that are of full age, he said in verse 14, even those who by, this is how it was done, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to the discerning of both good and evil. I'll tell you something. How do I choose what's right or what's wrong, Brother Simpson? You know, you choose by what's right or if it's wrong, by the word of God. Can I hear an amen? Now, And I know this might throw you for a loop, but you don't choose right because just the preacher says so. Because there are some preachers that don't preach what's right and wrong. So you got to know what the Bible says yourself. Amen. And one of the greatest scriptures in the New Testament is this text when it concerns the word of God and using the word of God to be able to discern, amen, what's good and what is evil. Amen. And you do that by reason of use. Amen. Over and over reading the word of God. Amen. The Bible several different times gives us, amen, good and bad. I set good and evil before you. Amen. That's what he did to Adam and his wife, right? There in the garden, there was good and there was evil. There is always a choice. Now, a lot of times, amen, I've had different ones to come up to me through the years, preaching now over 23 years and pastoring, amen, what's right, what's wrong, amen. And always you refer back to the Bible, amen. And a lot of times there are some things in our generation now that you can't find the word in the Bible. You can't find crack cocaine in the Bible. You can't find marijuana in the Bible. But how many would agree with me that it's wrong? Okay, about half of you. Amen. I don't know about the other half. How many would agree that marijuana, smoking marijuana, is wrong? Well, how do you do that? When it's not mentioned in the Bible, when it's not mentioned, thou shalt not, amen, smoke marijuana. Seriously. Amen. Well, there is scriptures. There's the scriptures that talk about such like. There is some things that we hear about today, amen, that of course wasn't even around in biblical times, but the spirit behind that, amen. That's not my sermon. It's more marijuana, so you don't have to worry about that. We're not going to spend an hour or 30 minutes on marijuana, amen. But I want to talk about choices. And between every choice, there is an easy choice, an easy wrong, and there is that hard right, amen, to make in every choice. Psalmist David 119 in verse 11 said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Why? That I might not sin against thee. Amen. Have you ever been convicted by the Word of God? Have you ever been read something in the Word of God? Amen. And something just like a light bulb come on in your heart and the Word of God convicts you as you read the Word of God. Amen. And that is the reason why I think there is a lot less people that want to live a life that's dedicated as simply as they don't read God's Bible, amen, as a rule book, as a love letter, as something that they want to know more about God. If you want to know more about God, read God's Bible. Hey, amen, the phrase reason by use is, amen, means trained by practice or habitude. Amen. Train by practice. Amen. The more you read God's Bible, the more, amen, you see what's right and what's wrong. You see, as a child, as a born babe, amen, you have mom and dad there. They teach you. They're to admonish you in the Lord, is what the Bible said. Can I hear an amen? They're there to give you your first steps and your first lessons of right and wrong. But the sad thing about it, a lot of parents today don't do that. And I'm not trying to be mean this morning or critical, but that is the fact. Amen. I've heard and read stories of where mamas have taught their own daughters to be prostitutes. Amen. And their own sons to be thieves. Amen. But for the most part, most parents try to teach and instill in their children, amen, what's right and wrong. Amen. But for you and I, once we become saved, amen, there is choices to make. Amen. Give an example. One of the first Old Testament stories, one of the most familiar stories that you could remember is found in Joshua chapter number 7, the man by the name of Achan. Achan, amen, of course, was part of the children of Israel's army there when he was going to come into Canaan land. And God had already told Joshua, and Joshua had already told the people not to take the forbidden, amen, there in the, amen, the city of Jericho, amen, not to take of that, amen, and because it was the first fruits of Canaan land. Amen. Thus, it was the tithe, if you will, of Canaan land. And so when Achan went in there, amen, of course, amen, the story says in Joshua chapter 7, how that when he seen the garment and he seen the gold and he seen the silver, there becomes something inside of his heart. He had to make a choice whether to listen, amen, to his own spirit, his own voice, amen, his own heart, his own mind, if you will, to take and try to hide it, amen, in his tent, amen, and make a choice to do that or to listen to what Joshua said, God said. And of course, we know that Achan, amen, chose the easy wrong and took of the forbidden.
Amen. But I'll tell you something. There is a consequence. Amen. When you choose wrong. What choices have you been brought up before this past week? And believe me, you'll have choices. There'll be temptations. And if you're not grounded in the Word of God and in prayer, you'll find yourself leaning toward that easy wrong than that hard ride. Huh? Because the flesh wants to take the road of least resistance. Amen. You know, nobody wants to go upswing, I'll get here right in a minute. Amen. Upstream. Amen. But everybody wants to take the road of least resistance. But there is a consequence to making wrong choices. Achan, give you an example. Of course, I won't go through it all. I don't have time. Amen. But when Achan sinned, he thought, Sister Jewel, that he had it hid. Very familiar story. He thought that nobody knew. Of course, God knew. God was angry. And when they went to the next battle, the city of Ai, amen, they thought it was going to be a piece of cake, Brother Kevin, but it wasn't a piece of cake. 36 men lost their lives. Amen. They come back like whip pups with their tail between their legs, if you will. Amen. Wondering what in the world was wrong. Joshua went to prayer, and God told Joshua, amen, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. And Joshua said, I'll go down each man. I'll find out who it was. And thus he did. And it ended up being Achan. Listen to me. And Achan thought that he had it hid. He didn't have it hid. He knew. Amen. And when you read Joshua chapter 7, I won't turn for sake of time. Amen. But you find Joshua going down to each tribe. Now, as soon as Achan knew that Joshua had heard from God, knew that there was sin in the camp, Achan, if there could have been any mercy, amen, Achan should have instantly run to Joshua and said, I am the man. I pray you forgive me. But you'll find in the Joshua chapter 7 that he didn't do that. He let Joshua go down each tribe until it come down to him, and he finally confessed, and it ended up costing his life. Amen. He was a person on the milk and not strong meat, if you will. Amen. He chose the easy wrong, and thus there was the consequence of his choice. What was it? Well, the Bible said all of his sons, all of his daughters was taken outside the city, stoned, and what? You mean his sin? Now there's different commentaries on this. The Bible doesn't say that nobody else in the family knew. Most commentators say, amen, that no doubt maybe the family knew. And of course, there's only speculation. There's no way to actually know if they knew or not. But I will tell you this, amen, he took of the garment, he took of the gold, he took of the silver, and it cost him, amen, not only him, but his children's life. Can I tell you, when you make a wrong choice, amen, it does not only affect you, but it will affect those around you. Amen. Come on here. Amen. You think of a dad that backslide and amen. And it's just me. No, you've got a wife. You've got a children. You think of a mama who wants to run off into the wind, off into the world. Amen. And it's just her own. No, amen. It will affect her husband and it will affect her children. Sin is never a personal affair. Every time you see sin in the Bible, men or women committing sin, it usually affects those around them. So do you see the importance of being, amen, trained, amen, by reason of use in the Word of God, amen, to know what's right and what's wrong? Preacher, I don't really understand about this. What about this? Amen, read God's Word. I remember, it's just come to me, it ain't my notes here. I remember pastoring my first church, and I've probably told you this here, and if I have, you forgive me, but it bears telling again, I guess. I never forget one morning I was teaching, and I can't remember the lesson, but in that particular church, it's a pretty nice church, probably seat 150, 200 people, nice brick church, but up here on up where our baptistry is, that particular church had a large, one of those old, what I would call an old flea market type quilt with a picture of Jesus on it. You know, you ever seen it with fringes on each end, just an old cheap $10. I don't know why they had it up there, but I was a new pastor and I wasn't going to forget that. tapestry or whatever. It might have been something fancy. I don't know. But it just, anyways, I wasn't for it, but I was a new pastor, and it wasn't worth fooling with to me, and there's other issues there, a lot of issues. But anyways, I never will forget, I come across a man not having long hair, and I never forget. And I said, you know, Jesus. And I didn't make a big deal about it because I knew that was there and everybody was looking at me and they was looking right past me up there. And somebody's grandma or somebody bought that 9,800 years ago or something, you know, not 9,800, but you get the picture. Somebody's sentimental value up there. And so I knew, you know, I knew. So I just hit it and I was just swinging on through there. And all of a sudden a lady raised her hand. Of course, that church there was the men and women both in the class, and I never forget what she said. She just cried, and she said, "Brother Simpson," she said, "Jesus didn't have long hair because I've had some dreams," and she said, "That's exactly what he looked like right up there." So what do you do, Brother John, when you're teaching Sunday school, and some lady's crying over here on the front, right there where Isaac's sitting, she's sitting right over here where Isaac's. I don't know if you're up here teaching, and she says, "Jesus, I have dreams, and Jesus looks just like that." Well, you know, and I'm being nice, and I said, "Now, Sister Irene," I said, I appreciate your sincerity," and I was being real nice. I wasn't being mean, but I said, "You, like me, have been raised all of our lives with that figment of Jesus in front of us, And just because you had a dream and he looked like that, Jesus did not have big, long, wavy hair way down his back. I don't believe that. You can't make me believe that. Matter of fact, I don't believe that was the picture of Jesus. Huh? No, then that's another side issue. Don't go on that rabbit trail. Ain't worth shooting this morning. But anyways, but here's my whole point behind that statement, that story, is she had made herself a belief out of a dream. You never base any doctrine on a dream, on a feeling, or even an experience. If you want to have a belief or a doctrine, what'd you say, Sister Eloise? By the word. Anybody gets up and tells you, "Amen, thus and thus and thus," without the word of the Lord, well, grandma had this, you know, and now you say that's foolish. We know that. I understand it. But it's the Word of God. The King James Version Bible. Stick with the Bible. When in this last day, in this end time, when there's going to be deception at an all-time high, deceivers at an all-time high, you better know the Word of God for yourself. Amen. Get you, amen, a good Bible dictionary. Get you a good Merriam-Webster's dictionary. A good Bible dictionary. Get you a good Strong's Concordance. Wouldn't hurt to get you an old Matthew Henry commentary. And know the Bible for yourself. You say, "Oh, I won't be deceived." Amen. But how many has been deceived? How many good, honest people have been deceived by pastors, amen, that preaches our camp meetings or whatever, and come to find out that they're gay or they're having some adulterous affair for 10 years, amen, the whole time every one of us was deceived, amen. You got to understand something. You got to know God's Bible. Amen. You're going to face choices in your life. Amen. How do you judge? What do you do? Look to the Word of God. And I tell you, and please don't misunderstand me, but one of the scariest things you can do is if you trust your own heart. Huh? Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it, but be careful about that statement. You've got to see what the Bible says about it. There was a time, it's in Judges, this ain't in my notes, but is it in Judges? Several times that the Bible said they did which was right in their own eyes. Ain't that through the book of Judges? If I remember right, in the Old Testament, they didn't have nobody over them, so they just did what was right in their own eyes. Amen. But when you make a choice, now notice verse 14. I want you to see this. Amen. Notice this. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age," help me, Lord, "even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what? Good and evil." It's the Word of God that teaches you and I, amen, how to make right choices. One of the, you know, I got this in my notes, but I don't have. But do you remember, of course, everybody, when you think of David, the great patriarch David of the Old Testament, and you see the wrong that he did, everybody instantly thinks of Bathsheba and that sin. But do you know that the Bible records a sin by David that God judged worse than his sin with Bathsheba? Have you got any Bible readers out there? That's right, Brother Earl. Remember that? When David numbered the people, God's anger was kindled. Amen. It was a sign of pride. Amen. Arrogance that David chose to do that when he knew better. Amen. I'll tell you something. And it cost him. There was consequences. There was consequences when he made his choice to sin with Bathsheba. There was consequences when he made his choice to number the people. I'll tell you something. When you sin and you choose sin, amen, there will be consequences to your choice. Amen. You got to choose what is right. A few weeks ago, I preached out of Chronicles, and I've been studying a whole lot in Chronicles and actually working on one or two other messages out of there. Hadn't got them done right now, but I remember in 2 Chronicles 26, there talks about a man by the name of Uzzah. Do you remember that? The one who the Bible said was the king of the southern kingdom. And Uzzah, amen, when you read the first half of Uzzah's life, amen, it is a miraculous, unbelievable thing that how he pleased the Lord. And the Bible said as long as, amen, he sought the Lord caused him to prosper. Do you ever remember reading that? Amen. I preached that a couple of years ago out of that chapter. And I remember when I look back at that, amen, I've seen that. But do you know what? When it come down to the Earl to the end, the closer, maybe not the end, but somewhere in the middle, amen, of Uzzah's life, the Bible said he was lifted up with pride and he went into the holies of holies and he was going to offer sacrifice. Do you remember that? And the Lord smote him with leprosy. Amen. And you read this, you read that story in 2 Chronicles 26. Amen. And I was reading, one writer said it like this. He said it would be, and I know this is a carnal illustration. Amen. But maybe you'll get this. He said it was like, he said it was like a team. Amen. At halftime, maybe a football team at halftime. And one commentator said it like this. He said it might have been 100-0 at halftime. But when he come down to the half of the game of his life, he blew it. He had such a great lead in the first half of his life that you thought he would never lose in life. Amen. But we forgot, amen, and made the wrong choice and chose the easy wrong over the hard right. He was lifted up with pride. There's consequences when you make the wrong choices. And Uzzah, and I tell you, I don't have time to get into it all, but when you think of it, amen, the high priest went in there to try to persuade Uzzah to come out. And if you remember the story, Sister Annette, amen, Uzzah didn't pay him no mind. And the high priest went and got 80 more priests with him to go in. And there was 81 priests trying to persuade one man to come out, but he would not listen, amen, to them till God smote him with leprosy for making such a foolish choice. You know, one of the things when you hear a backslider years later, listen to me. One of the things that you hear a backslider say years later, not a week later, not 2 weeks, not a month later, not 6 months, not even a year later, but a lot of times, amen, when a backslider comes back after 10 or 15 years, they'll make statements like, I was such a fool for ever leaving the house of God. There's been such consequences, untold heartache, amen. Why? Amen. Because when you make the wrong choice, you suffer the consequence. Huh? Amen. I was going to, he made the wrong choice. But give you a good example real quick. Come to the piano, Hope. Do you remember one of the good examples would be in Daniel chapter, was it 3? Daniel chapter 3 there about the three Hebrew children. amen, how that they chose not to bow down to the golden image. Amen. You're talking about a hard right, Brother Caleb. That was the hard right. The easy wrong would have just been bowed down a few inches and just asked the Lord to forgive you a little later when they went nobody looking. The hard right was to stand up straight right there. When everybody bowed down, you stood out like a sore thumb, and the king was already putting out a threat on your life. Amen. Whoever didn't bow, and there you stood up. The three Hebrew, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they chose the hard right. But here's what I want you to notice. Yes, it might be a hard right. Sometimes you have to decide, but can I point you out that God was with them when they chose the hard right. Amen. Some of you here might be facing choices, decisions in your life, and you've been praying about it. God, what should I do about this right here? What about this? What about if I do this right here? And you count the cost. We all do. We're just human, won't we? How many's ever counted the cost over to see? You think about this. Well, if I go this route, this one, so-and-so will do this, and so-and-so, and this will happen. And then if I go over here, I might lose that, and I might lose this, and there's some hard decisions right here, and you weigh out all the costs. But can I tell you that when you choose the right thing, the biblical right thing to do, God will always be with you. Right is not always easy. Did you hear me? The right is not always is as attractive as the wrong. Right is not always easy. I remember when I was first called to evangelize. I've been preaching about a year and a half, 2 years, and God dealt with me to evangelize. And I don't know if I've ever told this. I can't remember if I have. That was a hard decision, Brother James, because I had never hardly ever left the county, so to speak. I had, but you get the picture. I mean, we was all in a little cluster there, and Mom and Dad and our grandparents and Bev's grandparents and just getting started with a new little baby girl, and to leave home then, boy, you know, I mean, I can go home now and stay with Mom a week and pull out and never shed a tear. Not because I don't love her, I don't care, just I'm older and I've done it so many times. But I remember those first times when I made that choice and I gave my 2 weeks' notice. That was a pretty hard situation for us. I had bills, I had things, responsibility, and a lot of responsibility, a lot of things kept on coming, and monthly bills and insurance, but I made that decision. And I never forget. I mean, we would leave home, we would cry, my wife would cry, Sabrina would cry, Mom would cry, amen, and we'd cry for 30 minutes going on down the road. Y'all don't know anything about that if you've never been evangelist. That was a hard ride back in those days. How about you? Where are you at? Daniel chose the hard right. Moses was another man that chose the hard right. Joseph in Genesis 41 chose the hard right. The easy wrong would have been to slip off of Potiphar's wife. Remember that story? That would have been an easy wrong. Nobody would have. He could have lived happily ever after. He would have thought, the devil told him that probably. But he didn't choose the easy wrong. He chose the hard right. And it cost him several years in a dungeon. But don't ever forget what the Bible said. When he was down there, the Bible said, but God was with Joseph. You know, when I started evangelizing, my dad was not a Christian. And so when I gave my 2 weeks' notice on my job, I mean, I was married and living out of the house, and it was a hard thing. I remember Dad really going off on me. I mean going off. I mean cussing and blaring and just a worldly father, not saved. Here's a son quit his job, and I'm married and got a little baby. What are you, some kind of nut? Nobody quits their job. You got a wife. You got a yeah, but Dad, God's got a calling on my life, and I've got a few revivals, and I'm going to go preach, and I'm going to... He didn't understand that. He didn't understand it for years. I don't know if he ever understood it. But I remember that. So just because you choose right, don't look for pats on the back. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. Don't look for somebody. Don't look for the choir, the pastor to even acknowledge it, because probably most of the time I will not even know about it. It'd just be you and God, maybe you and your spouse and God, and just you personally. But can I tell you this, that please, please, the consequences of choosing the wrong, amen, and the amen, and the glory of choosing right, and God being with you, can I tell you, amen, I'm like the song. Is it the song that says heaven will be worth the journey, that says sometime I've been tested? And sometimes I've passed, and there's a line that says, sometimes I've failed. I can't tell you that I have made every right decision since I've been saved. There have been a few times in 27 years of being a Christian that I have felt the Lord check me, and I still wouldn't have said what I said. Y'all probably never done that, have you? I'm probably too transparent. I know I am. You brothers ever sort of ever get in an argument with your wife and you try to make it real easy sounding. And you just go to just get your turn in, you know, and give her an uppercut with words and something check you and say, shut up. Don't say that. It's quiet here, ain't it? And then you go say it anyhow. Wow. Anybody ever done that? All right. Let's move on. Y'all ain't gonna shout me on that one. Shout down. I was hoping you'd be shouting by now, but choosing right. Let's stand all over the house, please. Exercised. What's it mean? What's it mean to be exercise of use? It means like my dad was a great mechanic. And when I got married and we moved out, if I ever had any vehicle problem, I'd pull up to Dad's and I'd say, Dad, I want you to listen to that. My motor, it ain't making the right sound. And my dad could come out there, Brother John, and just by listening at the motor, ribbing it up or something, or just, you know, turn the steering wheel back and forth, make some kind of little noise, and he could say, well, you got this problem, you got that problem. Why? Because all he'd done all his life was drive a truck and mechanic all his life. So his senses were exercised in that field. I never took my car for 20 years. I never took any vehicle I had to a garage. I'd always go to Dad, and he'd say, do this, and I'll help you put it on, or do this, or do that. This is your problem, this right here, because his senses were exercised to that. Same way with a carpenter. A carpenter can walk into a place, and they may never say nothing, and probably most won't. They can just tell you what's wrong and what's right. I find myself, I'm not no songwriter, but since I've been writing songs the last 4 or 5 years, I hear a song on the radio or something like that, and I go listen to the words more discreetly now, seeing if the rhymes are right or seeing if it whatever. And then a lot of times there's somebody, and I've had a lot of people in the home call me the last year or so and just say, hey, help me with this song or whatever. And then you could just pick up, because after you do it day in and day out for so long, your senses become, by reason of use, exercised to that. Oh, I would to God we'd get so full of the Word of God that we can make every choice. You've had any choices to make, Brother Caleb? You don't have to yes or no. But make him by this right here. Make him by the Bible. Sister Lisa, have you had any choices you've had to make? Decisions? God, we're in your Word. Help me. You need some wisdom about something? Read the book of Proverbs. Huh? Read the book of Proverbs. Very slow. Go through there. A lot of times you'll find your answer right in the book of Proverbs. Let's gather around this altar and pray. Everybody that will, please come. Father, touch hearts. Take these feeble efforts, Lord.
Have Jesus and silver.
Oh, God. Lord, we need you.
I'd rather
give our people the strength. Give our people grace, Lord. So when decisions come, they make their decisions based on the Word of God. They make their decisions based on the Word of God. Not by their heart, not by their own thoughts, their own feelings. Lord, I've prayed more than once, God, help me to put Simpson on the shelf. Lord, help me to put Simpson on the shelf right here. Because I need to hear what the Spirit says. I need to hear what thus saith the Lord. I need a verse, God, of Scripture that will point me in the right direction. I know the way my flesh is pulling. Lord, I want to know what your word says. We say God's word has the answer to every problem, but do we really believe that? I believe it. I believe in God's word, the answer to every problem can be found in Christ's lovely name.
I'd rather have Jesus than man's
applause. Come on here this morning.
I'd rather,
Father, I felt your spirit, Lord, as I preached this morning. I didn't preach any astounding message this morning, Lord. But just trying to share what you laid on my heart about choices and decisions. Because decisions determine our destiny. Choices have consequences. Oh God. Lord, when the easy wrong and the hard right is put up before us, help us to choose the hard right. To do the right thing. When it's not popular. Doing right, Lord, we're in a time where doing right is not always popular anymore. The Bible said they'll call good evil and evil good in the last day. So we that choose to live righteous, we that choose to live holy, we're not counted as popular. Lord, we'll choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Oh, God. What about this, Lord? What about this choice? What about this decision?
Oh, yes, Lord. And be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world. faithful.